What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Cliff Show. Off the Cliff Show, brought to you by 14th Market Podcast Network. We are back. Sixers won Game 3. That's all we needed. Joel Embiid 50. Tyrese Maxey had 25. We weathered the Knicks storm. I mean, we gonna get into all that, man. But I just want to remind y'all, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please follow, like, subscribe. What are my dogs? Oh my god! Oh. Follow, like, subscribe. Also, if you are watching YouTube, take a second. Go ahead, hit the like button. Also, hit that subscribe button. Helps me a lot, supports me. It is free. I would definitely appreciate it, just how, like I'm saying, how you support me. But no intro today. We're just going to get right into it. Going to try to make it quick. Huge win. We are back. I knew the Sixers weren't going to lose on the same night that the Eagles had the draft. And we all know the Eagles didn't. They didn't trade up, which we all thought they were going to do. They didn't have to. They were able to stay at 22. They got Queen and Mitchell from Toledo. I'm hype. Some people on the TL was hating it, but whatever. It's not an Eagles show. I'm just wild. You see me? I'm saying, go Birds. But huge game last night. Huge, huge, huge win. Sixers needed it. We all know if they don't win that game, the series is over. They would go down 0-3 to the Knicks. They would have to play at home. And then, you know what I'm saying, even if the Knicks lost at home, even if the Knicks lost in Philly, then they would go back to New York. They're probably getting that win. But huge win tonight. Joel Embiid, 50 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, played great. There's nothing. I don't know what else to say about Joel Embiid, right? So he scored 50 points on one leg, and it comes out after the game from Woj that he has Bell's palsy. So basically, one half his face works sometimes, one half, like, it just, I don't know, it's weird, but it is a temporary thing. It just, I'm hearing from a couple people that it's very treatable, and it just, like, goes away at times, so that's why he had, like, his head down and after a press conference, why the like, he was wearing the sunglasses and stuff like that. But he's just a warrior. There's not much more I can say about him. Love him to death. Even in his post-game presser, he was like, I just have to keep going. I can't be like, woe is me. Why does it keep happening? I just have to keep fighting no matter what happens. I love him, bro. I'm proud of him. I need him. I need a long playoff run. It's just like for him, just right, and everything that he's going through. But let's get into the game. Like I said, Joel Embiid with the 50 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, played great. In that first half, he came out strong. You could tell that he really wanted to win this game. I liked his energy. I liked his movement. The one thing that I did not like was he was kind of losing his composure a little bit. He was playing really emotional. And usually when you get those type of games from Joel, it doesn't go well. I don't know if you all can remember, was it game 4, game 5 in Atlanta when he was like screaming at the crowd, telling them to shut the F up and all of that. Those is in his other moments where, like, his playoff moments where he plays entirely too emotional and he kind of gets out of control. And I think we saw that when he pulls down Mitch Robinson and gets the flagrant one, I don't condone that play at all. I think that was messed up of him to do. When it happened, I was like, oh, they're going to toss him for that. But ended up just giving him a flagrant one. Yeah, should have been a flagrant two, won't lie. Also, there were moments where he would complain about every single foul not called. And I understand, because what he was complaining about, they were fouls, but it was just the frustration building with him. I'm sorry, my dog is right here. But you could just see the frustration building with him, and he kind of lashed out on that Mitch Robinson put down. I think he got fouled on like a jumper, got fouled going to the lane or something like that, or he fell or something. And then he was on defense. He tried to take a charge on OG. The refs don't call anything. Then the Mitch thing happens. He pulls him down. But I thought it was going to be over. I was like, all right, well, if usually when we get this Embiid, he sucks. But he kept his composure. He got 3 early fouls. Nick Nurse decided to keep him in with 7 minutes left in the second quarter with those 3 fouls. I'm like, oh, he's going to pick up a 4th one. But he stayed in. He contributed. I think he had like 6 or 7 more points after that. Kept the team afloat. Was really great. It's not much more I can say about them. 58-4 on a bum leg and half a face. When he is locked in, and I don't even know how to say it, with the injuries that he has, right? With the scoring 50 on one leg and one face, the fact that he can do that well, one half of his. The fact that he can do that just shows like he's still the best basketball player in the world, right? And a lot of people were doing the whole playoff thing. Even me, like, you know, he doesn't show up in the playoffs. What is he going to do? But this is the playoff moment that he needed. So hopefully this is going to put a huge dent in those playoff. Like, he's not he doesn't show up for the playoffs. Like, he's gotten better each game this season. I think game one, he had 29. Game two, he had 34. This game, he has 50. He shoots 5 for 7 from three. He did have 21 free throws, but like I said, he was getting fouled. He had a block, shot 68% from the field. Like, he's the best basketball player in the world when he is at 70%. And just imagine if he was able to be at just 90-95% during a playoff run. And that's probably what that would probably look like is the Raptors series that they lost on the Kawhi shot. That's probably the healthiest we're ever going to see him, or he's probably going to look. If we could just get that one more time, the Sixers will win a championship and they will walk to the finals. But great game from Joel. Like I said, showed toughness. There was even one time late in the game where the Sixers were kind of they were on the cusp of like giving up a run to the Knicks, right? And you could see it because like they would have these moments where they would go up 10-12, but they couldn't really stretch it. And the Knicks would kind of come back. I think they got the lead to like 7. And I think they missed a shot. Hartenstein clearly has an offensive rebound, but Joel doesn't give up on a rebound. He taps it out of Hartenstein's hands because he just didn't give up and was able to get the rebound and secure it for the Sixers. I think they come down. I think he gets fouled, or Kyle Lowry gets fouled. I think they hit 2 free throws, but it's just points. But it's just things like that. Like, the extra effort is needed to win a series like this versus the New York Knicks, who basically all of their offense comes off of either Jalen Brunson or hustle points. And you need to go the extra mile, and you need to put your body on the line and do the extra little things in order to win a series like this. So kudos to him. Kudos to the Sixers for doing that. Someone else want to talk about. Nick Nurse finally did it. He finally put Campaign in the game instead of Buddy Hield. The Buddy Hield minutes are absolutely terrible. I can't do it anymore. And once he missed that open three off of a Paul Reed rebound in the corner that would have pushed the lead to like 13 or something like that, and then the Sixers were on a run. Once he missed that, I'm like, he cannot play another minute in this series. You need someone else out there that is going to at least do something else other than shoot the ball. And at this point, Buddy wasn't shooting the ball. On top of that, and when he did get his shots off, he wasn't making them. So there was literally no point of having him out on the court. So you needed somebody else out there that could distract the defense, that could put pressure on the rim, that could be another ball handling, that was just another threat out there that could facilitate the offense outside of Tyrese Maxey. And Nick Nurse finally put Campaign in. Immediately, he comes in. He collapses the defense, is able to kick it out to Nicholas Batum for an open three. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that, you know, a point guard that could collapse the defense would be able to do that? Next possession, comes down, hits a corner three. We are back. It's up. At this point, it's up. And it's like, it shows you what you could have been doing this entire game. It's like, multiple fans saw it. Like, you put a player like that in the game because you don't have a lot of ball handlers and shot creators on the team, especially when Tyrese Maxey is out. So comes down, hits a corner three. A couple of possessions later, is able to, I think he fakes the pass to Batum in the corner, steps back a little bit, hits another elbow three. Campaign just inserting energy that the Sixers needed. 11 points off the bench, shot 4 of 7, 3 of 4 from three. It was just huge. Well, he had 11, 1, 3 assists. He was just, oh, he had 2 blocks. Oh, my God. But, nah, he's a Campaign, just a type of player like you need that comes off the bench. He just inserts energy. He even said it in a quote last night. He said, energy costs nothing. And that's somebody you need that just doesn't care about the moment. As you can see, some other Sixers players, you can kind of see, like, they play a little tight just because of the playoff atmosphere. Campaign plays the same way every game. He doesn't care about the moment. He doesn't care about where he is. He doesn't care about the time. He plays the same way. He just doesn't care, and he hoops. So I'm glad he got that opportunity. I'm glad he was able to put on. I don't think Buddy Hield will play another minute in the series. Maybe you wait until like next series if they are able to get to the next round and come back in the series. Like, you try the Buddy Hield thing again. But right now, needs to be Campaign, just because Campaign is also one of the other players that looks like he can keep up with the Knicks, because like the Knicks have a lot of like, it looks like they have a lot of fast players. They move really quickly. They're aggressive, and Campaign is just fast enough, just twitchy enough to be able to stay with the Knicks players and also, like I said, collapse their defense. When you're relying on like 38, 39-year-old Kyle Lowry, Nicholas Batum, guys who are not able to shot create, and even when Kyle Lowry does try to penetrate and collapse the defense, it's usually just off like a screen or like he's really slow so the Knicks can recover. So he's really, I want to say, easy to guard in that aspect. And he doesn't really collapse the defense as much as he should. He doesn't have like a real, like any float game or anything like that. Can barely get all the way to the rim. So once you have a player that can now do that and actually put pressure on the rim, I think Campaign even hit a floater this game. Like once you have somebody that can hit a floater, get in, have a little in-between game, can get all the way to the rim, can snatch back for three, is able to facilitate and get other guys open, now there's someone else to worry about, especially when you're pairing him with Tyrese Maxey on the floor. And it was just huge. I think they were like some of the biggest points. I mean, yeah, some of the biggest points in the game last night, because like he needed to insert that type of energy, because like I said, that first half was wild. A bunch of non-calls, like Joel Embiid early three calls, the flagrant one, it seemed like it was kind of getting away from the Sixers, and they even ended the half off down three. But oh my gosh, somebody's calling me. But yeah, just huge from Campaign. I'm glad Nick Nurse put him in. I still think he should try Ricky Council in some spot just to see what he can give you, because that shows what energy can do for you, and it's good energy, right? He wasn't doing anything reckless. He was very in control. He pushed the pace when he needed to. He just gave a different dynamic to the Sixers offense that they needed in that point in time, because I even tweeted it earlier, like the movement that the Sixers had. Oh, my God, stop calling me. The movement that the Sixers had earlier in the season when Joel was there is kind of like disappeared so far. In the postseason, is might be because of the playoffs, and like players are going to bump you, they're going to push you off your spot, and I don't think the Sixers were ready for that toughness, especially players who cut often like Kelly Oubre, like Nick Batum, like Kyle Lowry. That, you know, it's a different type of like mental toughness and toughness that they're going to have to deal with. I do think they eventually, you know, figure it out, but somebody that gives you a different aspect to the Sixers offense and Campaign and his ability to penetrate. So huge game for him. Thank you to Nick Nurse for doing that as well. What else did I want to talk about? Like, the Sixers still do this thing where they just have mental lapses, and it annoyed me so bad in the first half to where I said they are going to lose this game and they're going to get swept, because they are not mentally ready or prepared to deal with the Knicks team that plays for the full 48 minutes. They will hustle. They will go after offensive rebounds. They will go after loose balls. The 50-50 balls, they seem to always get them. I was like, the Sixers are not mentally ready for this. And I said that because at the end of the half, when the Sixers needed a stop, you know you need a stop just for momentum going into half, right? I think so, I forgot who missed the three. Let me see. I forgot who missed the three, but OG Anunoby is able to get an offensive rebound because Tobias just doesn't box out. Then OG misses a shot. Then DiVincenzo runs from the opposite three-pointer right past Tyrese Maxey and is able to jump over everybody and get the rebound. And I'm like, how does that happen? You have to be completely locked in for the entire game. You can't just watch the ball bounce off the rim. That's not what the Knicks are doing. The Knicks are going aggressively at every single rebound that they can get because they know that this is 75% of their offense. And if you know that as a team, you should be able to box out and understand, okay, if this is the only way they can score, if we focus on boxing them out and we are able to get these 50-50 balls and these loose balls, they won't have a chance. And in that moment, I'm like, at the end of the half, where you know they're going to be aggressively rebounding, and you know this is all they have right now, you need to stay focused, stay detailed, stay mentally prepared, and just box your man out. And you know this is how they have been destroying you all series on these second chance opportunities. So in this moment, everybody, you find a man, you box out, you easily get one of those rebounds. And I think it led to like an OG floater or something like that. And it's like, what are y'all doing? Like, it's like they do this thing where they take breaks during the game, and you simply cannot do that in a playoff game. We saw it at the end of game two, at the end of game one, where they just decide that they're just not going to box out, or they're not going to stick with their game plan, and they feel like, all right, well, this is the time we can take a rest. But when you're dealing with a team like the New York Knicks, who are pure hustle, they are you literally cannot take a rest. You have to stay engaged. You have to stay focused. You have to stay detailed. You have to make sure you're boxing everybody out. You have to make sure that you're diving for loose balls, like, because they are going to do it, and that is how they will win. That's how they will out-tough you. Also, the Sixers crowd, well, no, the crowd in the Wells Fargo, the Sixers fans should be ashamed of themselves, because it sounded like a Knicks home game the entire game. Also, Sixers fans didn't wear the red shirts that they handed out, and it's something that's just corny, because when you see it done in OKC or you see it done somewhere else, it just looks dope. It brings back a playoff atmosphere. Why wouldn't you do it? Especially for the team that you root for. It doesn't matter. Well, at this point, we already know the Sixers fan base is the worst fan base out of the Big Four in the city of Philadelphia. Most of the time, it's comprised of people who don't know what they're talking about or don't know what they're watching, and basketball is just like a secondary sport, and it's secondary to like the Eagles and the Phillies, right? And they're not as knowledgeable. If that is not you, I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying most Sixers fans that you would encounter, the bad ones, they don't know what they're watching. They're not really engaged to basketball like that. It's just another sport that they can watch. It's like them watching hockey. They don't really know what's going on. They might know to a certain extent, but they don't know the ins and outs. So that's pretty much what basketball and hockey is like in the city. They're not as diehard as they are would be like the Eagles or the Phillies, because I guarantee you, if the Eagles put out green shirts, everybody will be wearing them in the stadium. If the Phillies put out blue or red shirts, everybody will be wearing them in the ballpark. But it just doesn't happen for the Sixers. I've been crying about it for many years because I've been noticed it. And I now know that the crowd noise is not nerfed. It's just that Sixers fans suck. So whatever, dog. I don't know. That just made me mad. But as we could talk about Tyrese Maxey, who had like a pretty regular game, but he showed up in big spots. The sidestep over Hartenstein was a huge shot, because you could tell like he got into like a rhythm. He was like, okay, well, I'm here now. He was able to drive on Precious Achiuwa for a layup. Had some big defensive plays coming out of the half. Big, regular game from Tyrese Maxey, but came up big in some spots. And you can't expect him to have a huge night every night. He is only 23. He's still got to work his way into learning how to be 1A sometimes when Joel is 1B. So, regular game from Reese. The Josh Hart turning into Steph Curry all of a sudden after he shot 31% from three. Now he has shot, I think he is shooting over 50% from three in the series. I don't know what's happening. He is wide open. I think you just have to at least stunt at him or run him off the 3-point line at this point, because there was times where you're just leaving him wide open. You're like, all right, well, you're just going to have to beat us. And I get it. And at the end of game two and in the game three, like, he has taken some threes that have not been close and has worked out in the Sixers' benefit, but you just cannot let him just continue to shoot wide open threes and give the Knicks momentum, especially when they are dead in the water at moments. So this, I'm waiting for this to stop, because it's not real. Also, the Knicks little push shot floaters, they're fake. I don't want to believe that they did. Hartenstein hit a million of them tonight. I don't understand why it keeps going in, because he's not good. Josh Hart also not good. So whatever, dog. But everybody showed up. They played tough. They toughed it out. Oh my God, why did my durag look like this? It look crazy right now. Gotta fix it. But yo, what's happening right now? Hold on, y'all. Fix my durag. All right. Boom, we back. We back. But yeah, they really showed up. They got a bunch of second chance opportunities. What I would like the Sixers to do, because I do think, like I've said, they are the better team. It has shown in games one, two, and now three. The Sixers in every single game have gotten out to a double-digit lead, whether it be 10, 12, 13. They are the better team. I would like for them to like put the Knicks away early, because they have the ability to do it. They struggle with when they get out to that 10-12 point lead, they kind of like have a mental lapse, or it's just always something where they can't stretch the leads like 15, 17, even 20. Something always happens to where it's like the Knicks are able to just get back into the game or like just keep the lead at like 10, stay within arm's reach. And then, you know, they get their points off their hustle, or Jalen Brunson hits a big shot. And I would like them just to finally like stay mentally engaged, maybe say, all right, let's get this lead up to 20. Let's make sure they have no chance of coming back, like really enforce our dominance on them, because that's what the Sixers have done. I feel like the Sixers have beaten the Knicks all – how many quarters has it been so far? It's been 12 quarters so far. I feel like the Sixers have beaten the Knicks in all 12 quarters. It's just like those little marginal moments at the end of games is where the Knicks end up like they make a run and the Sixers just can't withstand it, or like game two where they steal one. But like I said, the Sixers have had double digit leads in each of these games, and they just need to find a way to finish it and like deliver the kill shot. Basically, it's like, all right, we are the better team, we're gonna end you early and make sure you have no chance of coming back. Like I said, it's always like they get the 10 point lead, get it up to 12, 13 maybe, and it's like, okay, we need to push this further so we can put them away, so they know that they don't have a chance. But when you keep a team like the Knicks in it, who are gritty, grimy, that are not going to go away, they're going to find a way to get into that little 10-point lead, get it down to 5, get it down to 7, get it down to 3. They're going to find ways to do that just off of pure hustle. So you have to make sure that you have prepared yourself to withstand a type of run like that they're going to have. So, okay. Like, you know they're going to have that type of run where they're going to be gritty. They're going to get a couple steals here. They're going to get a couple offensive boards. If you build a lead out to about 15, 20, and they do go on that run, you already know it's only going to generate about six to eight points at that time. And you're like, all right, well, that's their best shot. We still have a double-digit lead once they go on that run. And you're like, all right, well, let's continue to dominate, continue doing what we were doing in order to build that lead back up and possibly push it further. So there was a couple times last night, I'm like, all right, this is the time. Like, this is where they have to, like, the Sixers have to put them away right now if they want to show that they are a real team and they are better than this team. They had a couple moments to do it, but also, of course, something fluky happens. Like, they turn the ball over, or it's a steal, or they give an offensive rebound, the Knicks go down, scored, do whatever. But I would like them to just be more mentally focused and more determined to just put the Knicks away when they have the chance, because they 100% had the ability to. But huge, huge win tonight. Hopefully Joel Embiid he's okay. He's able to continue to go. Jalen Brunson finally has big night. All Knicks fans told me that once he had his big night, the Sixers wouldn't stand a chance. The Knicks pretty much played the same tonight. All of their reserve players got their usual, like Josh Hart 20, OG Anunoby 17, Jalen Brunson 39. It's like the Knicks role players played better and they got beat by double digits. This is why I think the Sixers are just a pure out better team. If I'm the Knicks, now I'm confused. I don't know what's going to happen, because they got two games they stole. Game one because of a Joel Embiid injury. Game two because the refs cheated. Yeah, you can blame that a little bit on the Sixers at the end as well, but the refs had some obvious missed calls. Now you come out game three, Sixers still have not played their complete game. Joel Embiid goes out there and gets 50. Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, DiVincenzo, and Hart all play great games, and you still end up losing. While the Sixers reserves, only other Sixers player in double figures outside of Maxey and Embiid were Campaign and Kelly Oubre. So, as a Knicks fan, I don't know what you take. You could take away from that game, like, yeah, the Sixers made a bunch of threes in that third quarter, but the Sixers have, like I said, they have had double digit leads multiple times in this series. So if there is a time that they play that their complete game, they will win by 20 to 25 because they are that much better of a team than the New York Knicks. Like, I don't know what you do when you have Jalen Brunson, who had a great night, 39, 2 and 13, Josh Hart, 26 and 6, OG Anunoby, 17, 4 and 2, Hartenstein, 14. Like, they had a great game and still lost by double digits. So as a Knicks team, I assume they're deflated because, like, now what do you do? And the Sixers are only getting better. Like, Joel Embiid looks better every single game. Tyrese Maxey looks better. The team overall looks better each game. They're gaining confidence each game as the series goes on. So as a Knicks fan or as a Knicks player, I don't know what they can now do to hopefully, you know, win a game. Like I said, Sixers in six. I'm going to stay on that. I am a Sixers fan. So take that what you will for all the Knicks fans that be in my comments. Y'all told me Jalen Brunson, the Funko Pop, because he got a big head. Y'all told me that once he had a great game, the series will be over. He had a great game. Y'all lost by double digits. But remember, like, subscribe. I'm out.